وأنتم تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتجاهدون في سبيل الله، فإذا ظهر فيكم حب الدنيا فلا تأمرون بالمعروف ولا تنهون عن المنكر ولا تجاهدون في سبيل الله، والقائلون يومئذ بالكتاب والسنة كالسابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, as Muslims, as reciters of Kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is an inherent, integral aspect, dictate and demand of this iman which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that should cause us to be very, very concerned and perturbed by the very difficult and trying phase or period through which the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam globally is passing through. Almost on a daily basis, we are bombarded with news of atrocity, persecution, hardship, difficulty, loss of life and property that is being meted out against Muslims throughout the world. If one is not careful, then a sense of despondency overtakes one. Then how is it that this ummah has fallen into such a plight? And how can this ummah come out of this morass? How can this ummah ever rise up again from the extent of moral degradation that has occurred? What we have to understand principally, fundamentally, is that halat and conditions in this world are not dictated by any government. They are not dictated by politicians, they are not dictated by scientific or technological advancement or achievement. Halat and conditions in this world primarily are in the control of one Allah. Many, many places in the Quran, this message is sounded out, إِنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمِنْ بَعْدُ أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ إِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِنْ يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. All these verses I've recited and many, many more verses, one principal basic message Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us, that no nation rises up or is brought down. No nation advances or declines. No one is benefited or harmed except with the permission, qudrat, will and irada of one Allah. It is Allah's dominion, it is Allah's hukumiyat, hakimiyat, samadiyat, jabariyat that is controlling every facet of this creation. If we want to address our plight, if we want to address our malady, if we want to understand the situation that this ummah is facing today, let us not fall into the trap of so-called enlightened and intellectual thinkers. What is the solution? What are the solutions they are putting forward? Educate yourself more, get more university degrees, acquire more weaponry, acquire more armies, acquire this, acquire that. However, the fact of the matter, my respected brothers, if all these various ideas that are being purported and put forward are weighed in the light of Quran and Hadith, and are weighed in the light of that ulum which reached us directly from Allah through the agency of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find that all these theories and ideas have absolutely no basis whatsoever in Quran and Hadith. Any attempt to address the plight of this ummah, having removed Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the equation, wallah, by the qasam of my Allah, will not solve anything, it will worsen the problem of this ummah. What is even more ironical, what is even a greater cause of concern, if you look in Quran and Hadith, if you look at the annals of history, of the achievements of this ummah, look at the manner in which Allah has praised this ummah in the Quran. وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إنا لننصر رسلنا والذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا ويوم يقوم الأشهاد. وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين. ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض. The barakat and blessings of the heavens and the earth for this ummah, the help of Allah for this ummah, hayatun tayyiba, pure life for this ummah, izzat, respect, dignity and honor for this ummah, the wa antumul a'lawna in kuntum mu'mineen, superiority over the ghayr, over the enemies of Allah for this ummah. Promise upon promise. Look at the ahadith. This is that ummah. From the time of its inception, from the time of cover of the Ummah, throughout the ages, previous Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, were extolled the praises of this Ummah. Faqih ibn Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayhi, in his kitab he mentions the riwayat, Abu al-Bashar, the father of humanity, Adam alayhi salam, what does he say? Inna Allah ta'ala a'ta ummata Muhammad arba'a karamat ma a'taniha. Allah blessed the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with four distinctions that I, the father of humanity, Adam alayhi salam, was deprived of. Inna qubula tawbati kana bi Makkah wa Ummah Muhammad ya'asuna fi kulli makan fayataqabbalu Allahu tawbatahum. He says, I made an error, I made a mistake. 40 years of crying. Finally Allah accepted my tawbah in Makkah, in Arafah. The Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will sin in the four corners of the globe and Allah will accept their tawbah. Inni kuntu fil jannah falamma asay ja'alani Allahu uryanan. Ummah of Muhammad ya'suna uratan fayulbisuhum Allah. I was in Jannah, I made a mistake. Allah stripped me of the clothes of Jannah, there to cover themselves using the leaves of the trees. The Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will sin in a naked state, yet Allah will give them clothes to wear. إني كنت في الجنة فلما عسيت فرق بيني وبين إمراتي وأمة محمد يعسون ولا يفرقون بينهم وبين أزواجهم. He says, I was in Jannah, I made a mistake, Allah separated me from my wife. The Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم will sin and sin, Allah will not separate them from their spouses. إني كنت في الجنة فلما عسيت أخرجني الله منها أمة محمد يعسون خارج الجنة فيدخلونها بالتوبة. He says, I was in Jannah, I made a mistake, Allah took me out of Jannah. أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم will sin outside Jannah and through their tawbah Allah will put them into Jannah. موسى عليه السلام كليم الله, the friend of Allah. فقيه بالله سمرقني mentions the riwayat, يا ربي إني أجد في الألواح أمة هم الشافعون وهم المشفعون يوم القيامة فاجعلهم أمتي. He addresses Allah, O my Rabb, I find in the scriptures and scrolls that were revealed to me, the Torah, mention of an Ummah to come. What is their maqam and status? They will intercede before you and their intercession will be accepted. فاجعلهم أمتي, make this my Ummah. The response comes, hum ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, Musa, this honor is reserved for the ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi, inni ajidu fil alwahi ummatan yaqtuluna ahla dalala ahatta annahum yaqtuluna al-awar ad-dajjal faj'alhum ummati. Again he entreats, supplicates, O my Rabb, I find mention of an ummah to come. They will oppose every type of deviation to such an extent that even the one-eyed Dajjal will meet his fate at their hands. Make this my ummah. Again the response, hum ummatu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, Musa, this honor is reserved for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يا ربي إني أجد في الألواح أمة أناجيلهم في صدورهم وكانوا يقرؤون نظرا فاجعلهم أمتي. Oh my Rabb, I find in the scriptures revealed to me a mention of an ummah to come. Their revealed book, their Quran will be in their chests. They will know this by heart. The previous ummahs were not blessed like this. Make this my ummah. Again the response, hum ummatu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi, إني أجد في الألواح أمة هم الآخرون الآخرون ولكن هم السابقون يوم القيامة فاجعلهم أمتي. Oh my Rab, I need mention of an ummah to come. They will come last, but they will be the first to enter into Jannah. Make this my ummah. The response again, hum ummat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No Musa, this honor is reserved for the ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rabbi, inni ajidu fil alwahi ummatan yadkhuluna aljannah minhum 70,000 bighayri hisab faj'alhum ummati. Oh my Rabb, I find in the scriptures, the scrolls that were revealed to me, mention of an ummah to come. From them 70,000 will enter into Jannah without any reckoning. Make this my ummah. Again the response, hum ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi, inni ajidu fil alwahi ummatan in hamma ahaduhum bi hasana falam ya'malha kutibat lahu hasanatun wahida wa in amilaha kutibat lahu ashru amthalihi ila 700 du'fin fasa'ida wa in hamma ahaduhum bi sayya falam ya'malha lam yuktab alayhi shay wa in amilaha lam yub, wa in amilaha kutibat alayhi sayyatun wahida. فَجْعَلْهُمْ أُمَّتِي. Oh my Rabb, I find mention of an ummah to come. If any of them decides to do a good deed, even before he does it, even if he doesn't do it, on his intention you will give him the full reward. If he carries out that action, you will give him 10 times, to 700 times, to more than 700 times the reward. If one of them decides to do an evil deed, you will wait, you will not write it down as a sin. But if they carry it out, you will write it down as one sin. Make this my ummah. Again the response, hum ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi, inni ajidu fil alwahi ummatan كفارة خطاياهم الصلوات الخمس فاجعلهم أمتي. كان قول كرسن لو. Listen with the ears of Iman. This is a Jalil al-Qadr Nabi of Allah, Musa alayhi salam. Several thousand years before this ummah could come into existence, look at the manner in which he is extolling the praises of this ummah, the khususiyat, the special characteristics of this ummah. Oh my Rabb, I find in my Torah mention of an ummah to come. What is their shiar? What is their symbol? They will perform 5 daily salah. They will perform 5 daily salah. In return for this, Ya Allah, you will make them sinless. Jummah salah. This masjid is full. What happens at the time of Asr? What happens tomorrow Fajr? Musa alayhi salam is saying, Ya Allah, you are going to send an ummah. They will make 5 daily salah. You will make them sinless. Somebody is going out after Jummah, tap him on the shoulder, ask him, "By brother, next week Jummah you coming?" He said, "Don't insult me. How can you even ask such a question? Of course I'll be here for Jummah." Then ask him, "Brother, Asr Salah you coming?" He say, "Inshallah, make dua. Allah give tawfiq. We're very weak." As if only Jummah is far. As if Allah feeds us once a week. As if Allah is giving us air to breathe once a week. As if Allah's mercies and bounties are raining down upon us once a week. Understand the veracity of this. 5 times salah they will perform. Ya Allah, you will make them sinless. Make this my ummah. The response, hum ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again he entreats, Ya Rabbi, inni ajidu fil alwahi ummatan hum khairul umam. Oh my Rabb, I find in my Torah, in the scriptures, the scrolls that were revealed to me, mention of an ummah, they are the best. They are the best of every ummah. Why? Why? What is the foundation? What is the basis of distinction of this ummah over every other ummah? Before this ummah could come into existence, these things are being mentioned. هم خير الأمم يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. They will enjoin good, forbid evil. Dawah, the maqsad and object of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam will be given to this ummah. Dawood alayhi salam is addressed. Ya Dawood, inni faddaltu ummata Muhammad ala al-umami kulliha. وسننت عليهم السنن التي سننتها على الأنبياء وافترضت عليهم الفرائض التي افترضتها على الأنبياء. O Dawood, I have given fazilat, distinction, honor, superiority to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over every other Ummah. I made sunnat upon them, sunnat of Anbiya. I made farz upon them, fariza of Anbiya. What was the sunnat of Anbiya? What was the fariza of Anbiya? What was maqsad of Anbiya? What did Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam come with? To do business? To teach agriculture? To amass the things of this world? Did they come with some scientific knowledge that was not present at that time? No! Every Nabi primarily came with what? With the da'wah of La ilaha illallah. Fa'alam annahu La ilaha illallah. Every Nabi. The gullies and alleys of Makkah Mukarramah would sound out with this call of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, door to door, gully to gully, alley to alley. Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Say la ilaha illallah and you will be successful. In other words, bring the conviction of la ilaha illallah. I made farz upon them, fariza of anbiya. I made sunnat upon them, sunnat of anbiya. Hatta ya'tuni yawm al-qiyamah wa nuruhum mithlu nur al-anbiya. What does Allah say to Dawud alayhi salam? If this ummah will fulfill this responsibility that I have given them, they will come to me on the day of judgment. Wa nuruhum mithlu nur al-anbiya. And I will give them nur like the nur of the anbiya. This ummah was given a task, a responsibility. Look at Quran. Allah, my respected brothers, what is Quran telling us? This ummah is selected by Allah. This ummah is chosen by Allah. Unfortunately, our munasabah to the Arabic language is not there. But look at the expressions in Quran. Allah Ta'ala referring to Musa alayhi salam, wa ana akhtartuk ikhtiyar, wa ana akhtartuk fastami' lima yuha. O Musa, you were chosen, ikhtiyar. For this ummah, kuntum khayra ummah. Kuntum khayra ummah. Again, ikhtiyar. Musa alayhi salam chosen, this ummah chosen. Another word which the Quran uses for Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, ijtiba. Choice of Allah. Yusuf alayhi salam, wa kadhalika yajtabika rabbuk. Adam alayhi salam, thumma jtabahu rabbuhu, fataba alayhi wa hada. Yunus alayhi salam, fajtabahu rabbuhu, faj'alahu min as-salihin. Ibrahim alayhi salam, ijtabahu wa hadahu ila siratin mustaqim. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, ijtabaynahum wa hadaynahum. And for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wajahidu fillahi haqqa jihadi huwajtabakum. Strive in the way of Allah. You are not an ordinary Ummah. Strive in the way of Allah with your wealth and your life. Huwajtabakum. Allah chose you. Anbiya were chosen, this Ummah was chosen. The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood this. With tashreef comes taklif, with honor, with dignity, with status, with position comes responsibility. What greater example? What greater example than the pride of the creation of Allah, the greatest personality after Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, concerning whom Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to say that if the iman of the whole world is put on one side after Anbiya, and the iman of this one personality, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, is put on the other side, the iman of Abu Bakr will outweigh the iman of the entire humanity. 27th of Safar, it was a Thursday night. Abu Bakr leaves with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah Mukarramah for Hijrat. Medina is towards the north, they go towards the south to throw the trackers off. They go towards Ghar Thawr. There were trackers at that time. So Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go on his tiptoe, had to crawl on his fingertips, so that by the time they reach the mountain of Thawr, the Mubarak fingers and feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were bleeding. He was unable to climb up. Abu Bakr lifts him onto his back, carries him up that mountain till he reaches the mouth of the cave. The cave is pitch black, it is a dark night, 27 Safar, that's the end of the lunar month. He leaves Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam outside, goes inside, finds some holes, fears that there may be something which will be a cause of danger to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What does Abu Bakr do? He takes off his kurta, he tears it. Uses the material to fill up the holes. Still some holes remain. Takes his amama, fills up those holes. Still one hole remains. Places his foot against that hole. And then he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, marhaba. He requests Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to enter. It was dark. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam couldn't see the condition. As daybreak comes, as the light comes, Abu Bakr, what happened to your amama? What happened to your kurta? He said, Ya Rasulullah, there were empty holes. I feared that you would be harmed, so I used this to cover that. The moment he heard this, tears enter the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He looks toward the heaven and he makes dua that, Ya Allah, I am happy with Abu Bakr. You also become happy with Abu Bakr and make Abu Bakr my companion in Jannah. Immediately Jibreel is dispatched that, Ya Rasulullah, this dua of yours is accepted. Allah is happy with Abu Bakr, and Allah has made Abu Bakr your companion in Jannah. Despite the steps that were taken, the trackers were still able to come right till the mouth of the cave. Time is limited, but just one basic comparison between this ummah and the previous ummah. The ummah of Musa alayhi salam, 40 years in the sohbat of two nabis, Musa and Harun alayhi salam. Yet, when they come, the river is in front, Fir'aun is behind. What is the reaction? قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ The people of Musa alayhi salam, the ummah of Musa alayhi salam, the Bani Israel said, إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ We are destroyed. No hope for us. 40 years in the sohbat of two Nabis. No fikr for Musa or Harun alayhi salam. Fikr only for themselves. Worry only about themselves. What is the response of Musa alayhi salam? Kalla inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. What is the intonation of this that I expected you people to say this, but my Allah is with me. That was Bani Israel. This is this ummah. Huwa jitabakum. Allah chose you. The enemy reaches the mouth of the cave, Abu Bakr becomes concerned. Quran comes down, reproducing the conversation that took place at that time. Nabi Sassam consoles him, La tahzan, la tahzan, inna allaha ma'ana. Abu Bakr, if Abu Bakr was concerned about himself, the word would have been La tahaf. Do not fear for your safety, Allah is with us. But what does Quran say? La tahzan. Abu Bakr, do not be worried about me. Who his concern was? For Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bani Israel, their concern was for themselves. This ummah, La tahzan. Inna Allah ma'ana. Abu Bakr, do not worry, Allah is with us. Do not fear for the safety of your Nabi. The same Abu Bakr. Again, comparison. The ummah of Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun destroyed in front of them, drowned in front of them, roads made through the sea in front of them. Yet, they go a little bit further, they find some people worshipping an idol. Despite seeing the open health of Allah, what do they say? اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. Oh Musa, make for us a God like these people have a God. نعوذ بالله. This ummah, Monday, 7th of June, 633, according to the Christian calendar. According to the Islamic calendar, 12th of Rabiul Awwal, 11th year of Hijrah. Between 10 and 12 in the morning, the greatest catastrophe that ever befell humanity, the demise of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam occurred. Abu Bakr enters the room. Sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tears from his eyes fall onto the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa khalila, wa nabiya, wa safiya, O my beloved. Goes outside, there is pandemonium. Umar with the sword open. Anyone who says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, I'll take his head off. He's gone to talk to his Allah, he's going to come back. Sahaba, overtaken with grief, total confusion.
Coming to South Africa this March for the first time ever. World-renowned Quran reciter from Saudi Arabia, Sheikh Abdul Majid Al-Arkani. In Middelburg on the 16th of March. In Gauteng on the 17th of March. Jummah program at the Turkish Mosque in Madran on the 18th of March. In Cape Town on the 18th and 19th of March. Sunday the 20th March in Benoni and Lodium. In Roshni on the 22nd of March. In Durban for one day only on the 23rd of March. In Lanesia on the 24th of March.
However, the most honored, the most revered, and the most accomplished of all of Allah's creation is the human, the son of Adam. But like there is diversity in the creation of Allah in general, even amongst the masterpiece of Allah's creation, the human, there is diversity. The verse which I recited in my introduction, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, Almighty Allah is not only addressing believers, He's saying, O people, O mankind, O humans, Inna khalaqanakum min zakarin wa untha, we have created you, male and female, waja'alnakum shu'uban wa qaba'il, and then, we have created the system of this world such that you have tribes and you have communities. But what's the purpose of having tribes, nations and communities? لِتَعَارَفُوا So that you can recognize each other, so that you may know each other. So whatever difference there may be in ancestry, in geographical location, in birthplace, in skin color, that diversity is meant so that we could recognize each other. If all of us looked the same, came from the same place, had the same culture, the same habits, the same idiosyncrasies, life would be bland. Life would be somewhat boring. And it would be difficult to differentiate one from the other. So Allah says, We created you and made you into tribes and to localities and communities and nations so that you may be able to recognize each other. Not that you utilize that difference in skin color or in geographical location or in birthplace or in culture to discriminate against each other. The topic of discussion today, in line with the racism focus for the entire week, is on this issue of racism, prejudice, discrimination based on skin color and based on a person's ethnic origin. Let me say up front, one of the greatest scourges that plagues this country, nay plagues humanity at the moment, is the scourge of racism. One of the greatest scourges that plagues this country and plagues humanity is that of racism. Almighty Allah did not create dark-skinned people and light-skinned people and people whose complexion is in between so that we can use it as a tool of discrimination. No, rather so that it could be a tool of differentiation. Ibn Kathir has mentioned in his authentic narrations that when Allah wanted to create the outer mode, the body of the Prophet Adam, the first human and the first prophet, alayhi salam, Almighty Allah took soil from different parts of planet Earth. In some parts the soil was darker, in some parts the soil was lighter. And taking the different soil from different parts of planet Earth, It was all put together in the creation of the Prophet Adam, and hence from his progeny, there will be those who are darker skinned, and there are those who are lighter skinned, but they all come from one father and one mother. Like in one home, you may have two brothers who look different, whose skin color is different, and that, according to logic, is absolutely no basis for the one to consider himself superior to the other, or for the other to feel inferior to the other. It's absolutely no basis. It's illogical. That's why if you look at the definition of racism, they say, racism is an irrational bias towards members of a racial background. It's prejudice, it's discrimination or antagonism, which is directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that your own race is superior. Now, if you look at Arabia, prior to the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, in Arabia, in pre-Islamic Arabia, it was race, it was wealth, it was lineage, it was gender, and it was power that determined what your status would be in that society. But as soon as Islam came, and as soon as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared that he was a prophet of Almighty Allah, he showed his abhorrence towards racism. Islam came as a unifying force in Arabia, not a dividing or a divisive form. That's why if you look at the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba as we commonly refer to them, they were made up of a mixed group of people. They were not only light-skinned Arabs, but they were dark-skinned Arabs. They were not those only who lived in the cities, but they were also the Bedouins. Then you had amongst them Romans, Persians, Africans, slaves, rich, poor, male, female, very diverse, showing that Islam was for all of humanity. There's a famous incident mentioned in the traditions. There was a companion by the name of Abu Dharr. And one day he held an altercation with another companion, Bilal, who was African and he was dark-skinned. And he said, he made the statement that, O Bilal, O son of a black woman. Abu Dharr referred to Bilal as, O son of a black woman. So Bilal fell upset. He went to the Prophet of Allah. Later, when Abu Dharr met the Prophet of Allah, the Prophet of Allah was so upset that he refused to greet Abu Dharr. This one statement was found to be so abhorrent that the Prophet of Allah refused to greet Abu Dharr. And Abu Dharr said, O Prophet of Allah, did I offend you? What did I do wrong? He said, Abu Dharr, have you reproached Bilal because of the skin color of his mother? By the one who revealed the Quran upon Muhammad, none of you is more virtuous over the other except by good deeds, by righteous deeds. It is your character and your actions that will determine your superiority, and that determination can only be made by Almighty Allah. Everything else, your ethnic background, your race, your skin color, your culture, your tribe, your wealth, your profile, your status, all of that is irrelevant when it comes to determining who is superior and who is inferior. The same Bilal, an African slave, on the occasion of the conquest of Makkah, the conquest of that same Makkah, which used to discriminate based on race color, based on tribe and wealth and lineage, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took that same Bilal and gave him the supreme honor of mounting the Kaaba, the sacred house of Almighty Allah, and proclaiming the call to prayer, the Adhan, which we just heard a few moments ago. And he was also the first Muadhin, the first officially appointed caller to the prayer by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll mention to you another incident. Once in Medina, a man from outside came and he saw the companion sitting in the masjid, in the mosque. And amongst them were the Arabs from the Aus and Khazraj tribe who were natives to Medina. And also amongst them was the companion Suhaib who came from Rome, the companion Salman who came from Persia, and the companion Bilal who came from Africa. So this man had xenophobic tendencies. He remarked and said, I can understand these Arabs from Medina joining Muhammad because they are Arabs like him. But what are these foreigners doing here? What are these foreigners doing here? It is mentioned in the tradition that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam became so upset that he came to the mosque and he delivered an official sermon. And in that sermon he addressed the people and he said, know that your Lord and Sustainer is one. Your Creator is one. Your ancestor Adam is one. And your faith is one. Your being Arab is merely a point of lineage. Your speaking Arabic is merely a language. You are either mu'minun taqi, you are either a pious believer, or fajirun shaqi, or otherwise a miserable sinner. Why? Kullukum min Adam. All of you come from the progeny of the first man, Adam, wa Adam min turab, and Adam came from dust. Adam was created from the soil. On another occasion, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that remember, no Arab has superiority over an and no non-Arab has superiority over an Arab. No white man has superiority over a black man, and no black man has a superiority over a white man, except by virtue of your piety, except by virtue of your consciousness of Almighty Allah. Indeed, the best among you is the one with the best character. Indeed, the best among you is the one with the best character. So Islam is very emphatic, very clear, that there is no room for racism. There is no room for discrimination based on ethnic background, cultural preferences, skin color, status of wealth, or anything of that sort. The only bar and barometer and criterion gauge of superiority is your accepted actions. And only Allah knows what's accepted and what's not. So only Allah has the ability to determine superiority and inferiority. And that's what Allah says in that verse, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, that the most honored in the sight of Allah is the one who is most conscious of Allah. Let me tell you, O Muslims, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is beloved unto all of us, every one of us. Yet that Prophet Muhammad, who was light-skinned, who was an Arab, who had beautiful features and characteristics, he was suckled and breastfed by a dark-skinned African woman. He was suckled and breastfed by a dark-skinned African woman. And she was so dear to him, I don't have the time, but if you read history, his entire life he took care of her. And when she would just approach, his face would radiate with happiness, and he would refer to her as his own mother. He knew her more as a mother than his biological mother, because his biological mother had departed at a very, very young age. It was this black African woman who took him. His mother died on journey, and alone she brought him back to the sacred city of Makkah, and she looked after him and nurtured him until he was old enough and independent enough. She never left his side. The greatest of Allah's creation was nurtured by dark-skinned African woman. I ask you, those dark-skinned African women who iron our clothes and who clean our toilets and who are domestics in our homes, do we honor them? Do we teach our children, who they are helping to bring up, to honor them and to revere them as our Prophet honored and revered that woman who brought him up and nurtured him? That is also a sunnah. Unfortunately, if we look at reports and stats, South Africa may be into its third decade after democracy, but there's an upsurge, there's a resurgence, there's an increase in instances of racism and in racist attitudes. There are reports from the Institute for Justice and Reconciliation, the Reconciliation Barometer. And therefore, there is a coalition and it has come into place. It's called the Anti-Racism Network of South Africa. It represents more than 80 organizations. It was formed in November 2015 and it's spearheaded by the Ahmed Kathrada and the Nelson Mandela Foundation. And they have initiated this year for the first time this Anti-Racism Week from the 14th to the 21st of March. The first initiative of this kind in South Africa to address the scourge of racism which plagues this country, which plagues humanity, which plagues the globe. And what's the message? Color should never divide us. Color should never divide us. We need to take racism head on. We need to tackle it head on. We need to develop such a society where no human should be judged and defined according to their skin color. Your skin color, your culture, your background, your birthplace should not determine who you are or what opportunities and what privileges you are given. We need to, each one of us, we have an Islamic duty and responsibility. We have an obligation towards Allah to play our part in ensuring that we develop such a society where everyone has equal opportunity, where everyone is judged by their character and by their deeds, not by their skin color and not by their race. Now, how do we do that? They have called for a plan of action that revolves around four things. The first, we need to learn about racism. Now, you may think, what do I need to learn about racism? I know racism and I know it's wrong. Well, firstly, you need to learn that it's not just wrong. Racism in Islam is as haram, as abominable, as impermissible as a piece of pork or a drop of alcohol. No Muslim will want to go for a pork sandwich for a bottle of beer, understanding the abhorrence and the impermissible nature of it in his deen. Racism is just as haram as that. The second thing we need to learn is that no matter what others do, even if other groups are racist, other religious denominations are racist, even if there's reverse racism, it doesn't absolve us of our responsibility. In the end, you lie in your own grave and you have to answer before your own Allah. You cannot say they were doing it, so I'm justified in doing it. You need to guard against racism because that's the right thing to do. That's what Allah wants us to do. We need to guard our tongues. Against what? Against sweeping statements. Against such statements that smack of arrogance. Against ethnic jokes, which we call, you know, innocent humor. Sometimes if one man does something wrong, we make gross generalizations. We paint an entire race group with the same brush. Criticize the action. Do not criticize the nationality. Do not criticize the ethnic origin. We need to learn how to acknowledge. Listen very important to this point what I'm saying. There are many people who think they are not racist. But if they have to scrutinize and introspect very carefully, they will realize that they have tendencies of racism within them. They have tendencies of racism within them. It's so concealed. It's so submerged. It's there as we were brought up. We were taught that we don't realize it's there. We need to learn the different types of racism. Personal racism, cultural racism, structured racism. Where an economy and a society is structured in such a way that people of a particular race group remain marginalized and others of another race group remain advantaged and privileged. So that's the first part of the plan. Learn. The second part of the plan, talk about it. Talk about racism. It's about time that we be frank enough to acknowledge and to talk and to say that racism is existent within our communities. When a respected uncle or a dear friend makes a racist joke or makes a xenophobic comment, immediately you should speak up. You cannot be a passive spectator. You have an Islamic duty. You have a religious duty. Even if it be at a social gathering, around a plate of biryani or around the braai stand, if we don't speak up, we will never develop that society which Islam wants us to develop. The third thing is speak out against it. Speak out against it. So learn about it. Talk about it. Talk to each other about the scourge of racism and then speak out against it. And the fourth thing, most important, act against it. You have to act against it. I heard something very profound in the week. They said, not to be a racist is not enough. To be a non-racist is not enough. Because it means that you don't participate in any act of racism. You are only freezing the situation. You're not resolving the situation. To be a non-racist is not enough. You have to become an anti-racist. You have to become an activism against racism. We need to be calling out that how do we close the divide? Is it not time that we also learn the languages of the natives and the indigenous so that we can foster those bonds of harmony and close the gap? Is it not time that we start empathizing with people of all race groups and not only empathizing with people of our own race group? Is it not time that when we smile, and we show courtesy, and we show generosity, that we do so with people across the racial divide, and not only those who are close to us. So we have to become, it's our religious duty, to become activists against racism. I'll conclude with this. As I have explained in my discourse this afternoon, Islam has always been at the forefront of non-racialism. Islam has always been at the forefront of non-racialism. This is anti-racism week. You cannot only confine such activism to one week. It has to be an ongoing thing. But at least during this one week, after this discourse this afternoon, before we leave the sacred house of Allah at this sacred moment on this sacred day, each one of us here today, young or old, black or white, rich or poor, male or female, let's make a commitment from the depths of our hearts, a commitment to Allah, that individually and collectively we will take on the scourge of racism. We will become anti-racism activists for the pleasure of Almighty Allah. May Allah grant me the ability and all of us. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. Allah
الحمد لله الحمد لله بارئ النسم وخالق خلقه من عدم الحمد لله حمد الشاكرين الحمد لله على نعمة الإسلام الحمد لله على نعمة القرآن وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده وصفيه وقليله نشهد أنه بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة وتركنا على محجة بيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك اللهم صل وسلم على حبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون والذاكرات اللهم صل على حبيبنا محمد كلما غفل عنه الغافلون والغافلات أما بعد أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اللهم اجعلنا من الفائزين أحبتي في الله يقول الله جل وعلا إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون أحبتي في الله يا من اجتمعتم في هذا المسجد المبارك يا من أتيتم تلبية لنداء رب العالمين واجتمعتم إخوة من بيننا من هو من جنوب أفريقيا من هو من تركيا من هو من بلاد أخرى والله ثم والله ما اجتمعنا في هذا المكان وفي هذا المسجد إلا طاعة لله عز وجل أحبابي الكرام تذكرت قصة واقعية حصلت في مدينة جدة في المملكة العربية السعودية يقول الشيخ عباس وهو أحد أصحابي من المغسلين للموتى تأمل في هذه القصة يا رعاك الله في الأخوة في الله عز وجل دخلت يوما من الأيام إلى المغسلة ووجدت عائلة قد قدموا بجنازة فنادوا المغسل فذهبت وإذا بي أرى شابا يطرد الناس من حول الجنازة، يطرد كل من حول الجنازة. فاستغربت منه فقلت له: هل أنت أخ هذا الجنازة، هذا الميت؟ فقال لي: بل أنا أبوه وأمه وجده، كل شيء. فاستغربت من رده، فيقول الشيخ: أنا أريد من يساعدني في التغسيل. ودخلت غرفة الغسيل، وعندما كشفت عن وجه هذا الشاب هذا الميت، فإذا النور يشع من وجهه، وإذا هذا الذي دخل معي لكي يساعدني في التغسيل يبكي ويصرخ، يبكي ويصرخ. فقلت له: يا فلان اسكت، لا تبكي، هذا يؤذي الميت. فقال: لا عليك يا شيخ. فسكت. فبدأت أغسل هذا الشاب. عندما أتيت أغسل وأنظف وأنجيه من بطنه، فصرخ هذا الشاب الذي يساعدني ويناولني المقص والقطن لكي يغسله، يصرخ مرة أخرى ويبكي بأعلى صوته. فقلت: أخرج من هالمغسلة، لا أريدك أن تساعدني. فقال: لا يا شيخ. فقلت: ما قصتك؟ أنت تقول هذا ليس أخاك، بل تقول هذا أخوك وأمك وأبوك، ما قصتك مع هذا الشاب؟ قال: يا شيخ اسمع، وأنا أغسل، فبدأ هذا الشاب يحكيني قصته. قال: يا شيخ، نحن درسنا الابتدائية سواء، ثم المتوسطة سواء، ثم الثانوية، ثم تخرجنا من الجامعة الإسلامية سواء، ثم تزوجنا من عائلة واحدة أختين، ثم سكننا في عمارة واحدة نحن جيران، نذهب إلى المسجد مع بعض سواء، نأتي نفطر نصوم مع بعض، ولكن اليوم هذا أخي قد فارقني إلى الآخرة، لذا تأثرت يا شيخ، هذا أخي الذي لم تلده أمي. فبكى هذا الشيخ، ثم خرجنا بالجنازة إلى المقبرة. هنا المقبرة في جدة، هذه مقبرة أكبر مقبرة في جدة. أتينا إلى ممر رقم 10، ركزوا معي أيها الأحبة، الممر رقم 10 والمقبرة رقم 7. دفننا هذا الشاب في مقبرة رقم 7 في الممر رقم 10، ثم ذهبنا وانصرفنا إلى بيوتنا. اليوم الثاني أتيت إلى المغسلة لكي يغسل الأموات. هذا المقبرة الذي دفننا فيه لا يكاد أن يمر فرضا واحدا إلا ويوجد فيها جنازة، إلا هذا اليوم أسبنا لا يمر أي جنازة إلا اليوم الثاني. لما أتيت إلى المغسلة وإذا بي أرى أناس يبكون حول ميت، فأتيت فبدأت في الغسيل. عندما كشفت، هنا الشاهد يا مشايخ، عندما كشفت عن وجهه فقلت لوالديه وأخوه، قلت: هذا الشاب كأني أعرفه، كأني رأيته من قبل. فبكى والد هذا الشاب، فقال: يا شيخ، هذا الذي كان يساعدك بالأمس في غسيل أخوه. كل نفس ذائقة الموت، أرأيتم المحبة في الله والأخوة في الله؟ يقول: هذا الذي غسل ساعدني في التغسيل يوم أمس، واليوم أغسله. والله غسلته بيدي وأنا أبكي، وأنا أبكي أمس يساعدني واليوم أغسله. ثم ذهبنا إلى المقبرة، ذهبت معهم. هنا العجب، تعجبنا جميعا، والله المقبرة الذي بجوار صاحبه الذي توفى أمس ودفناه خالية، اللي هي رقم 8. مثل ما كانوا إخوة في الدنيا فكانوا إخوة في المقبرة، نسأل الله يجمعهم في الفردوس الأعلى ويجمعنا وإياكم إخوة متحابين متقابلين في الفردوس الأعلى. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، أحبتي في الله، إني لأجد هذه فرصة عظيمة لكي أتحدث إلى أحبابي أهل جنوب أفريقيا. قد من الله عليكم بهذا الدين وبهذا التجمع الكبير. إنها من أسعد لحظاتي أن أرى إخوة لي بهذا الجمع الغفير وفي هذا الجامع المبارك، الجامع التركي. أحبتي وصيتي، والله لا فرق بيننا وبين بين الذين لم يسلموا إلى الآن في الخارج إلا الصلاة فقط. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة، فمن تركها فقد كفر. أحبتي وصيتي لإخواني: الصلاة 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 الصلاة، هذا الذي يفرق بيننا وبين من لم يسلم إلى الآن. فاحمدوا الله على نعمة الإسلام وحافظوا على الصلاة، لأنه يوم القيامة أنتم ما شاء الله عرفتم بالأخلاق الحسنة وبالخير وبالصدقة وبالبر، هذا كل لا ينظر الله إليه إذا لم تحسن علاقتك مع الله عز وجل في الصلاة. أحبتي في الله، ثم أوصيكم بالمحبة والتواصي والأخوة بينكم، ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب، ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب. لا تقول هذا من القبيلة الفلانية، هذا من الدولة الفلانية، لا 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 لا، هذا الذي يفسد الود ويفسد، وجاء الإسلام وينكر وينبذ هذه الأخلاق. أحبتي في الله، أقول وأشكر من هذا المنبر دولة جنوب إفريقيا على استقبالهم لنا هذا الاستقبال وهذه المحبة. أسأل الله أن يحفظ هذه البلاد من كيد الكائدين ومن كيد الفجار. اللهم يا ربنا عز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأذل الشرك والمشركين، ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم يا من تسمع كلامنا وترى مكاننا، اللهم كما جمعتنا في هذا الجامع المبارك نسألك أن تجمعنا في الفردوس الأعلى. اللهم اجمعنا في الفردوس الأعلى إخوانا على سرر متقابلين. اللهم يا الله اجعلنا من المحافظين على الصلوات. اللهم احفظ علينا أمننا، اللهم احفظ لأهل جنوب إفريقيا أمنها وقيادتها وسيادتها وإيمانها وإسلامها. اللهم يا الله احفظ الحرمين الشريفين من كيد الكائدين. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين من كيد الكائدين يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجز القائمين على هذا الجامع المبارك. اللهم اغفر لوالدينا، اللهم اغفر لوالدينا ولوالي والدينا وللمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. وصل اللهم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا
الصف الأول في الأول.
الله أكبر،
الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما أخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى.
الله
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال إنها الإنسان ما لها، يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها، يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم، فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره، ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام.
اللهم يا من خلق فسوى وقدر فهدى، يا من أمات وأحيا، يا من مع عباده يسمع ويرى، اللهم يا الله يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كلها ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا عقوبة عين. اللهم يا غفور يا رحيم، اللهم يا باري البريات، يا عالم الخفيات، يا غافر الذلات، اغفر ذنوبنا كلها دقها وجلها سرها وعلانيتها. اللهم اغفر لوالدينا، اللهم ارزقنا برهم احياء وامواتا، اللهم اغفر لجميع موتى المسلمين الذين شهدوا لك بالوحدانية ولنبيك بالرسالة.